That's a real blessing because in the wintertime we're warm, and in the summertime we're kept cool. Oh, this water's so good. Just a sec here. All right, praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals once again for our final hymn tonight. Let's open it up to 66. Hymn 66 will stand. And Sir Isaac Watts wrote many a great hymn of the faith. And this is one of them. we're going to actually sing, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, all four of hymn number 66. All four. Please be seated, church. Incredible words there in that fourth stanza. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Boy, oh boy. I tell you, he's worthy, church. He is worthy of all that we are. Amen? Oh, what a great Savior we serve tonight. So good to know him and to love him and honor him in our lives. Well, let's grab our Bibles tonight and let's get over to the book of Isaiah, 40th chapter. Plenty of few Bibles there, brother. Isaiah chapter number 40 tonight. And as I was preparing for tonight's message, the Lord showed me something in the 40th chapter of Isaiah that I've read, pondered over many times, but the Holy Spirit revealed something a little bit different concerning this passage to me. And I want to share that with you tonight. Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to begin reading in verse 28. Now the book of Isaiah is like a mini Bible. It's got 66 chapters. The Bible has 66 books. Beginning in chapter 40, in verse 1, we have the prophecy of John the Baptist. Well, the 40th book of the Bible is the book of Matthew, where John the Baptist comes preaching in the wilderness. Amen? There's just so many correlations. In the 66th chapter of Isaiah, we have a new heavens and a new earth portrayed. In the 66th book of the Bible, we have a new heavens and a new earth coming down. So there's just so many parallels between the book of Isaiah and the entire Bible. And Isaiah, his ministry encompassed some 7 decades. The man preached almost forever. And glory to God, some of the prophecies that God gave this man are so amazing. We think of Isaiah chapter 53. And we see the cross so vividly portrayed. The Lord Jesus dying for our sins. Amen? And as a sacrificial lamb. And he's rejected and despised of men. But oh, how we love him. How we treasure the Lord Jesus. Tonight, look with me in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word tonight. Verse 28, we read, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." I want to call your attention tonight, beloved, to verse 31. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." And I want to preach a message I've entitled, "Waiting Upon God." Waiting upon God. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight that those of us who have entered into everlasting covenant with thee through thy blood, we can now wait upon you, Lord God of Israel. I am so thankful that you took me out of this sin-sick world and made me a servant of the King to wait upon his every beck and call. And Lord, I'm so thankful that every child of God can be waiting upon God till he comes. And Lord, tonight I pray from these precious verses we might glean some glorious spiritual truth, that we might be better servants for thee, that we might be waiting upon thee in these last days of the dispensation of grace. And Lord, we ask you to bless your word by your Holy Spirit through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Waiting upon God will be my message tonight. Now, while many are going nowhere fast, and others are going everywhere to go nowhere, God is looking for those who will wait upon him. Beloved, in a world full of chaos, confusion, and despair, God is looking down from heaven tonight, diligently seeking for people who will trust in him and live by faith while waiting upon him. In fact, here in verse 31, God makes certain irrevocable promises to those who will choose to come to him through his Son and learn to wait upon him in their daily lives. Listen, the Hebrew word here used for wait in verse 31 is kava. Kava literally translates to bind together by twisting, to wait on, or upon, or for. So what Isaiah is saying here is that while we wait for the Lord to return, we must be waiting upon him, waiting on him until he does. Waiting upon God. When you go to your favorite restaurant, your waitress or waiter will wait upon you. They'll ask you questions like, what can I get for you? Is there anything else I can do for you? How are you doing tonight? How's everything going? This is how we should be waiting upon God. We must be waiting upon Him like a waiter or a waitress. Amen? Whatever it is that He needs, we bring it to Him. Whatever it is that He wants, we get it for Him. I want to give you four things tonight from our text concerning waiting upon God. And the first one is this. We must wait upon God exclusively. First, we must wait upon God exclusively. Look with me in verse 31. We'll be using 31 as our text tonight. The Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, brethren, hear me. Family is important. Church is important. Our job is important. Friends, relatives, acquaintances. But our primary focus and purpose in this life is to wait upon God in all that we do. Amen? Those relationships, familial, are secondary to our waiting upon God. God comes before anyone or anything in our lives if we're waiting upon Him. Our primary focus and purpose in this life is to wait upon God in everything we do. To make Him the reason for everything we do and say. He must be the creator around which everything in our lives revolves. Jesus Christ is in the center hub, and everything in my life is flowing around Him. He is the focal point of everything. Amen? Exodus 20 verse 2 says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Therefore, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God wants you to wait on Him exclusively. God doesn't want you to put anything else before Him. And oh, how we have to concentrate and focus on making Him number one. Amen. 1 Corinthians 8, 6 says, for though there be gods many and lords many, but unto us there is but one God, the Father, and of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. He must have the preeminence, beloved, exclusively in our lives. Turn to Mark chapter 12 while holding your place in Isaiah. Mark chapter number 12. It is critically important for you and I today to understand that our God is sovereign and He needs to be the one upon whom we wait. Somebody comes along and says, hey, I need you to do something for me. If God's got you something, doing something for Him, say, as soon as I'm done taking care of the Lord's business, I'll be right with you. Amen? Look with me in Mark chapter number 12. Look at verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all, Jesus? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Glory to God. Jesus says, you want to know what your primary goal needs to be? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's it. Everything else, your neighbor comes secondary. God comes first. Amen? And when God comes first in your life, everything else will run smoothly. And run efficiently. Why? Because you're making God the center. And you are waiting upon Him primarily. Oh, I'm so glad this evening that we must wait upon God and do it exclusively. But secondly tonight, we must wait upon God with expectation. Back to our text in Isaiah 40, verse 31. We must wait upon God with expectation. Look at verse 31 again. He writes, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Notice it. The Bible makes a particular promise in verse 31 that those who choose to wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and that daily. Oh, I am so thankful for this point, beloved, because the grace of our God is exceeding great with love and grace that is in Christ Jesus. Listen carefully. One thing this Christian life requires every day is strength. Amen? You want to live the Christian life? You're going to need some strength. Mark her down. You've got the world to contend with. You've got the devil to contend with. You've got the flesh to contend with. You've got sin to contend with. And you need strength. How do you know that, Pastor? Because I need strength. That's because I need strength. I'm no different than you. And I need the strength of Jesus Christ. Listen, it takes strength to stand against the devil and his evil demons. It takes strength to overcome temptation and sin in our lives. It takes strength to resist the allurements of the world and the flesh. But praise God, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Brethren, we must learn to expect whatever God promises us in His Word. And He makes many promises to us. But this one I like. Look at it. Verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord. What's the next word?
Shall.
Not maybe. You shall. It's a definite promise. You choose to wait on Him. You choose to serve Him. You choose to make Him number one in your life. And you will renew your strength day by day. I love it. One of the Psalms, it says they go from strength to strength. Yes, that's the strength of God and not my own. Listen, folks, you and I are weak. We are unable to live the Christian life. But glory to God, there's somebody in me who's able to do it. And His strength working in and through you can live the Christian life in victory every day as we allow Him to do so. In Philippians 4, verse 13, you don't have to turn there, you know it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Strengtheneth me. Oh, yes, He does. Turn to Psalm 18. Hold your place again in Isaiah. We're coming back. Psalm 18. David's famous song of victory after the Lord delivered him from Saul and all his enemies. Look what he says here. David knew where his strength came from. Amen? David knew exactly who buttered his bread and gave him victory over the Philistines, over the Amalekites, over every enemy that the Israel faced. David never lost a battle in the field. Why? He had angelic assistance. He had a strength supernatural. And that's what you need. Look with me in Psalm 18. Look with me at verse 1. I will love Thee, O Lord, my what?
Strength.
David says, I love the Lord. Number one, because He's my strength. Oh, how we need to get this drilled through our thick skulls. That through the Lord, I can do whatever He calls me to do. Two, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Drop down all the way to verse 32. David says, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. Drop down to 39. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. David says, it's just like this. God strengthens my spiritual arms. God gives me power to overcome the enemy. Wow, what a promise. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall renew their strength day by day. What a blessing to know that. Every child of God can say with David, the Lord is my strength. We must wait upon God first, exclusively. We must wait upon God second, with expectation of His strength. And thirdly, we must wait upon God while excelling. We must wait upon God while excelling. Look with me in verse 31 again. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. We read these words. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. What? They shall mount up with wings as eagles? Yup, that's what he said. Listen carefully, church. Eagles fly higher than any bird. Eagles can soar further than any other bird. Eagles can see better than any other birds. Eagles are stronger than any other birds. Eagles excel all the rest of the birds out there. Eagles. Eagles. They excel. What did he say? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Eagles, the strongest of the birds, the highest flying of the birds, the one bird that excels all other birds. Have you ever watched one of our American bald eagles fly? We had the blessing of having an American bald eagle's nest in Calais, Maine, when we were passing a church up in Maine. And there was an eagle nest, and we'd pass that nest every time we went to church and every time we drove home from church. We'd have to pass that nest. Glory to God. That when those eagles would take off, I mean, you talk about majestic. You watch that thing fly. It cuts the air without moving a wing. No twitch. It's just smooth sailing. I mean, it flies with such natural ability. It's amazing to watch. And beloved, how glorious are the eagles. Beloved, our God wants us to fly for Him. He wants us to excel for Him. He wants us to soar like eagles for Jesus. Amen? And we can, because we've got something inside us that is supernatural, the Holy Spirit of God. Woo! Now listen, He wants us to live on a higher level than the rest of the birds. He wants us to soar higher than the rest of the birds. He wants us to be stronger in His strength than the rest of the birds. Go with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, hold your place again in Isaiah. In Psalm 103, a psalm of the creation of the various creatures that God has made. And watch what he says. David writes by inspiration in Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth, here's a good one, forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the what?
Eagles.
Like the eagles. There it is again. We're renewed like the eagles. Wow. I love that analogy. Go to Luke chapter 17. Oh yes, we're excelling because we're in Christ. In Luke chapter 17, we have an incredible passage concerning the second advent. Look what he says in Luke 17, verse 34. Words in red. Jesus says, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, and one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other one left. And they answered him, saying unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles. The what?
Eagle.
The eagles be gathered together. Oh, glory to God, beloved. I'm so thankful tonight that the eagles, that's you and I, spiritually speaking, will be gathered together one day. The Bible is filled with example after example of God's people excelling in His grace. Listen, Abraham excelled in faith. Joseph excelled in faithfulness. David excelled in confidence. Daniel excelled in contentment. Why? Because they all waited upon God while excelling. And so can we do so today, beloved. I'm here to tell you tonight as your pastor, you can excel. You can triumph. You can have victory in that daily. Because the Bible says you can, not me. Amen? I want to remind us tonight that we can excel for Jesus Christ and do it by His Holy Spirit. We've seen that we must wait upon God exclusively. We've seen that we must wait upon God with expectation. And we've seen that we must wait upon God while excelling. But finally, tonight, we must wait upon God with endurance. We must wait upon Him with endurance. Don't quit. Amen? You know, a lot of God's people are dropping out these days. Quit on God. Quit in church. Quit in Sunday school. Quit in soul winning. And it's just, they're not enduring. They're not enduring. Look at verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. We must wait upon God with endurance. 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. You know what he just did? He just made a promise to every single soul who would ever choose to serve Jesus Christ, that you will not faint. You will not pass out. You will not fail because he is with you. Oh, I'm so glad tonight that we can endure this Christian life because of the one who indwells us. Brethren, here we find the doctrine of perseverance. That is, that we as God's chosen people must endure all trials, heartaches, and difficulties and struggles of this Christian life with a steadfast resolution to keep on keeping on for Jesus Christ and his kingdom, no matter what the enemy throws our way. I am going to roll up my sleeves and I am going to continue serving my God. I don't care what the devil does. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the ugly flesh wants. I'm going to serve God and I'm going to endure in doing so by his power and by his strength. Amen? Listen carefully. Two things Isaiah tells us concerning this endurance in closing. First, notice our forwardness. Verse 31. Verse 31, he says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Two words I want to call your attention to. Run and walk. Listen, we must continually be making forward progress in our walk with God. No man is neutral. If you're I'm taking a sabbatical, Pastor, I'm just going to sit on an oak tree for a year and meditate. Good luck. You're not neutral. You're going backward if you're not going forward. Amen? Did you know there's no reverse gear in the Christian life? There isn't any. Because the minute you start going backward, you're heading into enemy territory. You see that? You know when a whole armor are gone, there's no armor for your back parts. No armor. If you turn your back on the enemy, he'll shoot you in the back. That's why we need to face him head on and go forward in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 10. For this is expedient for you, profitable, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. He's saying you should be a year ahead of where you were last year at this time in your Christian life. You shall have grown. You should have exceeded. You should have gone forward. You should have made some marching ground. Amen? Now, listen carefully. We must be making forward progress at all times, beloved. There's no retreat for the Christian soldier. Secondly, not only our forwardness, but notice our fortitude. Our fortitude in verse 31. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Notice our fortitude. Notice the two words, not be weary and not faint. Now here's what I want us all to see in closing tonight. In verse 31, we have seven things to consider. First, there is a stipulation. Then there are six promises of God. Notice the stipulation is exclusive to those who are born again. He says, to those who will choose to wait upon the Lord, they shall, one, renew their strength. They shall, two, mount up with wings as eagles. They shall, three, run. They shall, four, not be weary. They shall, five, walk. They shall, six, not faint. One great promise. Six promises with one stipulation that you wait upon God. Beloved, these promises are for you tonight. You and you and you and you, who will choose to wait upon God and make Jesus Christ the center of your life. It's not for every Christian, these promises. Why? Why, Pastor? Because every Christian won't make Jesus the center of his life. It's an act of the will, Mr. Calvinist. We still have volition, and we still have to choose, even after we're saved, to serve him and to love him and to obey him. It doesn't happen automatically. Your mama can't do it for you. Preacher can't twist your arm behind your back, Carl, and make you do it. He says, I know that. Listen, folks, the key to understand here is that while we wait upon God, our strength is being renewed day by day. We soar like eagles. We run, but we don't become weary. We walk, but we don't faint. Now, what about you? Are you waiting upon God? Are you making Him the primary reason and purpose for everything you do in your life? Because when you do, you're going to come in here, Pastor, I got a testimony tonight. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me, amen? Listen, in closing, let me give you this. In Greece, they started the Olympic Games some 2,300 years ago. Long time. The Olympics have been going on for thousands of years. The Bible speaks of the Olympics, you know. And in Greece, the original home of the Olympic Games, preparations were being made for that year's competitions. In 2002, the Olympics were back in Greece. Athletes from all over the world would gather to compete, attempting to become the best in the world at their field. In English, the Olympic motto reads, swifter, higher, stronger. But Isaiah says that God's people need to contend spiritually to be swifter, higher, and stronger than the things of this world. We need to go for the gold and even for an incorruptible crown of glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, down around verse 23, Paul says, so fight I, not as though I beat the air, and so run I to obtain. They to obtain an corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Glory to God. Beloved, when you wait upon God, one day you will be rewarded with an incorruptible crown. I don't know about you, church, but I want some crowns when I get to heaven. What? That's right. I want crowns. And I'm not ashamed to say so. Pastor, what do you want them for? You want to boast and show off? Nope. I want to set them at the feet of my King and say, you did this, Lord. You did this, Lord. You did this, Lord. It's all because of Jesus. Hey, I don't want to come before His throne empty-handed. And the only thing I can bring to Him is my heart and any crowns that I will have earned. Amen? Now listen, folks. It is so important that we need to learn to wait upon the Lord exclusively. We need to learn to wait upon the Lord expectantly. We need to learn to wait upon the Lord excellingly. And we need to learn to wait upon the Lord enduringly. Father in heaven, thank you that those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lord, I thank you for a church full of people tonight that desire to wait upon God. I thank you for a church tonight that understands the purpose of their existence. It's to bring pleasure to God, not ourselves. We were created for thy pleasure. And Lord, we thank you tonight for making it absolutely crystal clear to our hearts and souls and minds that the purpose of our being is to please you. It's to wait on you. It's to serve you. It's to do whatever it is you ask us to do. Period. Everything else is secondary. Lord, we love you tonight. And my prayer is that you would help every single one of us here at KJB Bible Baptist Church to be waiting upon God. And that we would do it till He comes. Till He comes. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, let's grab our hymnals. We will sing one in closing tonight. And let's open up to 62. Yes, indeed. This is where it all began for each one of us, at the cross. That's where it began, at the foot of an old rugged cross. We're going to sing the first, second, and fourth of hymn 62. Let's stand.
Alas, I'm dead, my Savior. And now I am happy all the day.
Yeah.
at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burning of my heart crawled away.
Woo-hoo!
It was then by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day on the morning. But a drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do.
Everybody now!
At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart broke away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Woo! Yes, sir! Thank you, Lord! Oh, what a great day we've had, beloved. I don't want to leave. I tell you, it's been so good. And you know, coming to church and worshiping with you all, it's like a little foretaste of heaven, what it's going to be like. Imagine, with all the saints in glory, singing and worshiping the King of Kings around His throne. The multitudes, how wonderful it's going to be. Folks, I tell you tonight, cheer up. Whatever it is you're going through, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. I'm going to ask Brother Tim, stand right there and dismiss us in prayer. And if you can, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Bible study / prayer meeting. Praise the Lord.
Lord, thank you for the message tonight, Lord. Thank you for blessing the pastor with the word. Bless everybody that comes to this church, Lord God. We ask that you would answer their prayers if it's in your will. And that you would give us safe traveling mercies home. Heal anybody that's not feeling well tonight, Lord. And please touch the people all around the world that hear this message in the blood of your Son. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.